Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. It's such a well-known psalm. I'm sure most of you can quote most of it, if not all of it. I'm sure it's something that you have read on many, many occasions. I've preached on the psalm two or three times already, but during this last week, I just sensed I wanted to preach on it again, and as I was preparing, I'd heard something earlier this week that really grabbed my imagination. And as I was looking at the psalm, it was just as if the Lord were giving me fresh eyes to read the psalm in a slightly different way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've entitled my message, The Reward of Following Jesus. Earlier this week, I listened to a clip of a message in which the preacher spoke about the fact that of all the world's religions, Christianity is the only one that promises us a reward now and in the future. All other religions, friends, the promise of following that particular faith only has a reward at the end of time for them. So for the Hindu, it's nirvana. They're heading for nirvana, and they're hoping that they've lived a good enough life to break out of the cycle of reincarnation that they believe in. We don't believe in it, of course. And that one day we will die, and one day they will die and go to nirvana. For the Islam, with the Muslim friends, the promise of eternity with Allah is that it's only achieved, friends, at the end of your life. There's no benefit to being a Muslim on this side of earth. Everything is about doing what you need to do to be able to ensure that one day you will go and be in heaven with Allah. Even for Jewish people, the reward is not so much for this life, friends, it's for the next life. All other religions, friends, motivate their people through guilt. They all have a set of rules and regulations that you need to follow. The Jews have the Talmud. The Islam has the Quran. Hinduism has the Bhagavad Gita or the Veda. Or they've got about 1,000 different scriptures that they hold to. Every other religion, friends, has a book of rules. And you've got to follow those rules and regulations. And if you don't follow those rules and regulations, you're uncertain as to whether you're going to ever enter into eternity. But friends, Christianity, and this was the message of the preacher, Christianity motivates people by grace. Because while we have a book, the book points us to Jesus. It's not rules and regulations, friends. It's relationship. The book points us to Jesus, And it's about following Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, as we give him our heart more and more, he gives his heart to us more and more. So friends, we're not motivated by law. We are motivated by grace. This Psalm 23 is a wonderful encouragement. David grasped this picture. He understood that it was all that God was doing for him right now, friends, that was such a tremendous blessing for him. He begins, first of all, in the first verse, by reminding us that our ultimate purpose or peace or satisfaction, or whatever you want to call it, the ultimate reason for living, friends, can only be found in following the shepherd. That's following Jesus. The first verse said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Isn't that beautiful? Have you ever grasped that reality, friends? When you have Jesus, you have everything you could ever want or need. You don't have to work to get to it. You don't have to earn your salvation. You don't have to do anything, friends, because when you have the shepherd, you have everything you need. The Hebrew word for want is the word kashava, and it means to lack or to fail or to be bereaved or to decease or to fail or to be made lower or to have a want. But friends, but because we have a relationship with the Savior, it's the very opposite of what the word is. Because the Hebrew says, you will not want. You will not fail. You will not decrease. You will not be bereaved. You will not be made lower. If you read the different translations of the different scriptures that we have, they all try and capture that picture. The Afrikaans Bible says, "Niks sal my ontbreek nie." There is nothing missing in my life. That's what it means. The American Standard Version or the Modern King James Version says, "Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Contemporary English Version says, "You, Lord, are my shepherd, I will never need a thing." The King James and the New American Standard and the Revised Standard Version says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Message transliteration says, "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing." But I like the last one. The New Living Translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." Friend, there is nothing more that you need other than Jesus. He is the full sufficiency in every single way. Let me just remind you of some scriptures. Psalm 34 verses 9 and 10 says this, "Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and weary, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Psalm 84 verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Matthew 6, you all know that this is my theme text for my life. Matthew 6 reminds us, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need him. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Friend, there is nothing we lack when God is on our side. Romans 8, verse 31 and 32 says this, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with all things, graciously give us all things? Man, I need to be hearing 100 amens this morning. Not just one. Friends, this is revolutionary for us as Christians. We need to grab onto this. We've got everything we possibly could ever want, friends. Philippians, you know the passage, 4 verse 19 says, but my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. And Hebrews reminds us, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. For we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Friends, what a glorious truth. I've been singing that song this whole week. It's filled my soul with absolute joy. Just to be reminded, friends, that the Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Don't you want to say that with me? Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Now say it like you mean it. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Friend, that's a truth that motivates us. That's the truth that keeps us going. That's the truth to live by. We don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live afraid of God that's going to beat us over our head because we've forgotten to do something, friends. Because he is our shepherd, we have everything we need. Now, the rest of the psalm, to a large degree, is just telling us about some of the things that God gives us. These are just, the rest of the psalm, friends, is just a list of things God has done for us to show us the benefits we have when we follow Jesus. What's the first thing he does for us? Well, first of all, he brings us to a place of rest. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The Hebrew word translated for pasture there, the word na'ah, literally means not only a pasture, like a place where you would take the sheep, but it also means a home. And it specifically means the home of the shepherd. So what David is saying, friends, he brings me to green pastures. He says, when Jesus is your shepherd, friends, you are already at home with him. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We don't have to wait to see whether we're going to achieve nirvana or not. We don't have to wait to be rewarded, friends, because the Lord has brought us to green pastures. Let me give you two passages of scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes this. He says, consequently, we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but now we are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you who are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Holy Spirit. Friend, where does God live? God only lives where there is holiness. That's the only place he lives. That's the difference between heaven and hell, friends. God can never be found in hell because God is holy. And yet, he lives in us. In me. Weak, frail, feeble me. Not because I'm great, but because Christ lives in me. His Holy Spirit comes to live within me, friends. It's as if we are with God already because God is with us. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Friend, God is with you now. You don't have to wait one day to go to heaven like the Hindu or the Islamic student. Friend, God is living in you right at this point in time. Philippians tells us this. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Friend, we have entered into the rest. We have entered into heaven already. We are citizens of heaven already. Not because we're going to go there one day, but because now we're already in heaven. Because Christ is in us. Hebrews 4 reminds us, now we who have believed, enter the rest as God has said. Friends, that's the picture that David has here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Friend, David understood that he didn't have to wait to die to go to heaven. He didn't have to wait to fulfill a bunch of rules and regulations for him to be able to get to heaven. He could experience heaven right here. Friends, I don't know if that motivates you. Man, we are with Christ, and Christ is with us. And the glory, friends, the wonder, we are fulfilled in every way because what God designed for us when he created us, we already have now as the children of God. We don't have to wait to get there any longer. Not only is he the one who brings us to the place of rest, secondly, he is our source of refreshing. The rest of this verse says, he leads me beside quiet waters. What's he talking about? Well, friends, the quiet waters he's talking about is referring to an oasis. When you come across a river and the river is raging and roaring past you, sheep are very skittish to go towards a roaring river. But when you come to an oasis, an oasis, friends, is a body of water fed from below with no fear of going to drink from it. Because, friends, it's fed from below and it's continually there. And so when David writes, he leads me beside quiet waters, he is reminding us, friends, that when we follow Jesus, when he is our all, he alone should be our source of refreshing. Listen to what Jesus said. Remember, he met with a woman, a Samaritan woman, near the town of Sychar. And he was thirsty and he asked the Samaritan woman, give me something to drink. And the Samaritan woman said, how is this that you're asking me? And then he said, well, if you ask me, I will give you water. Let me read it for you. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So the woman said, you have nothing to draw from the well, for the well is deep. How can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and who drank from itself, as did his sons and his flocks and his sheep? And Jesus answers, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Friends, when you draw from Jesus, when you allow him to fill your soul, there is nothing that can fill your soul to satisfaction like Jesus can. He fills it in every way. He is the source of refreshing. Nobody else can fulfill your deepest need, friends, other than Jesus. David understood that. He will bring us to a place of rest. He will be our source of refreshing. The third thing he does, friends, the third benefit, is that he reconnects us with the Father. David writes, he restores my soul. Friend, humanity's soul is far from God. Even our soul, before we met God, friends, was drifting. It had no purpose. It had no vision. It was just homeless. But now, when we follow the shepherd, David reminds us that our soul is restored to the Father. Since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, friends, people have lived at distance from God, their Creator. God used to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. He spoke to them, person to person, face to face. But when sin entered this world and sin entered their hearts and their lives, friends, He put them out of the garden and they were separated by guardian angels. There was no direct access to God anymore. You needed an advocate. You needed a priest to work on your behalf. But friends, Jesus has come. Jesus has come as the great high priest, and He has restored our souls. He has torn the curtain that separates us from the presence of God. And now we have everything we need, friends, because our soul reconnects with God. You know, the sad reality is that there's so many people, lost people, running to every part of this world. We spent the last few days up at Hogsback, as you know, with our family. When you go to Hogsback, you kind of realize just again how far people are from God. They want to find God in the wind. They want to find God in the sun. They want to find God in the trees. They want to find God in the animals. They want to find God in the ground. There are things called Mother Earth. And they want to find God in the crystals. Instead of finding God in Christ. Because in Christ, friends, only Christ can restore us to the Father. He reconnects us. Jesus said, I've gathered all those that you've given me, Father. All of us, friends, we don't need. I'm always confused by people who want to worship the sun. Why do you want to worship the sun? You know, the sun is being diminished every day. It's not getting bigger, it's getting smaller. Because it's releasing energy and it's burning up. And at some point in time, like scientists have discovered in other galaxies, the sun will collapse. And there'll be nothing more of it. So why would you worship the sun instead of the God who made the sun? Friend, there are benefits. The benefit is He brings us rest. He brings us refreshing. He reconnects us to the Father. I'm going to finish the sermon now because time has run us by. I want to do justice to the rest of this message. I'm going to carry on next week again. But let me just remind you of the message, friends. The message is simply this, friends. Jesus can satisfy you in every single way. Let's look at the rest of them next week. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. And even although we've just scratched the surface today, that we can leave with absolute confidence today, Lord, that because You are our shepherd, that we, Lord, have everything we could ever want or ever need. as we reflect on just those three things this morning, that you've given us a place of rest. Thank you for that ultimate peace, Lord. Thank you that we are already in heaven, that it's just one day a matter of exchanging this body for our heavenly one. There's no need to fear death, because absent from the body, present with the Lord. Lord, thank you that you refresh us in every way. Help us to drink from you, Lord, from the oasis that you are, a never-ending source of refreshment. Lord, help us. Thank you for reconnecting us with our Dad. Thank you, Father, that we're not aliens anymore. You haven't rejected us anymore. That simply by closing our eyes or by saying those words, Our Father, who art in heaven, Lord, we can connect with you. Thank you that you're willing to speak to us, that you're willing to communicate with us. Thank you, Lord, for all of the benefits that we have of knowing you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen.